favorite.
Yeah, that was a good one. This is Sir Quinlan. And the swords. What's a sword?
Sword.
A squad.
A sword.
A sword. Is squad. That the same thing as a sword?
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
It's just like a different
maybe from like a
sword.
A sword.
No, I'm just sure.
And the swords of
valor.
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 Valor. Valor.
The cover looks kind of weird.
Can I see?
Looks it? Different, huh? Looks yeah. Kind of
anime. Yeah.
Oh, there's a lady.
Yeah. I don't know. That's not Lady Carlos either. Because Lady Carlos had blonde hair.
And she was more young.
I thought that Sir Quinn, I didn't know that it was Sir Quinlan. I just thought that it was going to be about the guy that Leonard appointed king for Chessington back in the day.
I can't remember all of his appointments. He had a lot of appointments. Or who appointed everybody over the whole kingdom? Who gave all those assignments? Remember that?
The noblemen.
Or was it the prince himself?
It was the prince.
No.
The prince told Leonard to put Sir Quinn, I think.
I can't remember.
No.
Okay, so let's get our book started. To those who consider themselves the least, take heart, thou mighty men and women of valor, and be ready for God's command.
I like Chuck Black.
Sir Quinlan and the Swords of Valor. It's book 5, Knights of Erechtray series.
Out of 7? 6.
6. It's 24 chapters.
What, could I see the map?
There's a little mappy, doesn't show a whole lot.
What are some things on it?
Chessington Valley.
Are there any mysterious ending things?
Not really. Okay, there's the introduction to Erechtray. So the Knights of Erechtray, but I think that's the same for every book, so we will skip that. All right, the prologue. A Tale of Two Knights. There are moments in life. Can you hear okay, Chris Hero? Okay. There are moments in life that define who a person will be. These moments can be as precious as the gems of Allegra Briar, or as dark as the caverns of Seda. And they are as distinct and unrepeatable as the lives they have the potential to change. Unfortunately, most people fail to recognize them among the millions of other moments that make up their lives. The moments that inspire one to greatness are authored by the king himself. The moments that inspire one to evil are authored by the Dark Knight, Lucius. Moments of grand design are no respecter of persons, for the king has an un-Erechtrayan insistence on calling the meek and lowly to greatness, as often as the noble and wealthy, and perhaps even more often.
Because he took Sir Bentley.
Mm-hmm. I know this to be true, for I, Cedric of Chessington, lived through one of those moments. I received the fortuitous opportunity to choose the prince, and define my life it did. This is not my story, however, but Sir Quinlan's story, the story of a moment in his life that reverberated across all regions of the kingdom and changed the lives of many. It is also the story of his friend and how the choice of commonality... Well, perhaps I should just tell the tale. It begins not in the city of Birkfield, where our young Sir Quinlan lives, but in the darkened halls of Evil's Lair. Dun, 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 dun. All right, chapter 1. Words from the Dark. My lord, we nearly lost our stronghold at Maru, Luskin reported to the Dark Knight, then turned and glared at Malco. Malco turned the glare with hatred spewing from his eyes. The Dark Knight's fierce gaze turned toward the handsome blonde Shadow Warrior. He slowly rose from his grisly throne and walked toward Malco, fingering the long dagger at his side. Malco's countenance of hatred transformed into one of terror as his master slowly circled him, stopping just at Malco's right side. Is this true? Lucius leaned close to Malco's ear. Have you nearly lost my most treasured stronghold? Malco swallowed hard. No, Master Lucius. The waters of Maru are in full production, and I am expanding to 3 other cities as we speak. Lord Luskin has overestimated the importance of the skirmish in the swamp. Luskin snorted. The truth, my lord, is that the knights of the prince are purposely taking the battle to our strongholds. Malco escaped the fate of Drox by the hair of a blood wolf. Lucius stood straight and walked away, then turned to face Malco with a voice thick with anger. I have given you more warriors, vinceros, and resources than any of my other lieutenants. Lucius closed the space between them and drew his knife. Malco worked to keep his face stoic, but his eyes betrayed him. Lucius put his left hand on Malco's shoulder and gripped it tightly. He raised his dagger, positioned the tip of it beneath Malco's left eye, and pressed until a bright red trickle spilled down Malco's cheek. Slowly, Lucius drew the blade downward, slicing the fair skin of Malco's face. Oh, you remember Malco was like a really...
Barbie doll.
Yes, he was one of his evil charms was his good looks, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like Mommy used on me.
Yeah. Except hers aren't evil.
No, they're not. Of course they're not. Malco winced but stood still as Lucius spoke in a deep, guttural voice. Do not fail me, Malco, or this blade will cut more than your pretty face. He stopped the blade just above Malco's lip, then withdrew it and turned away. Malco lifted a hand to cover the bloody gash. Yes, my lord, he said in a voice full of fear and loathing. He turned and exited the hall. Lucius returned to his throne and scowled as he gazed at nothing. Luskin stayed silent, waiting for the brilliant mind of his dark master to formulate a counteroffensive to the attacks of the wretched knights of the prince. After a long silence, Lucius spoke. The rising is close. I can feel it. Lucius clenched a fist. We need something that will strike at the heart of his knights, something they cannot see nor fight, that will kill them before they know it. Lucius's fingers drummed on the arm of his throne as he turned to his vice commander. Stop, get your fingers out of here. Bring Lord Pathion to me. Luskin looked hesitant. Bring him now. Chapter 2, Tav and Twitch. Unlike many cities in Erethtray, Burkfield was a place of peace, comfort, and prosperity. Nestled among the beautiful low hills, it had grown from village to town to city in short order. The shops were quaint, the streets clean, and the people friendly and hospitable. The bell tower, set upon a rise near the city center, served as a daily reminder to all who lived there that life was good for the citizens of Burkfield. All civic activities took place in the buildings surrounding the bell tower, and the square nearby was the prime location for citywide celebrations and festivities. The city leaders prided themselves on their progressive spirit. All orders and guilds that supported the city's statutes and promoted its excellent reputation were welcome, and all who loved peace were universally accepted. Accordingly, the Knights of the Prince had encountered little resistance in establishing a thriving haven in Burkfield. The haven leaders found it reasonably easy to recruit men and women into its ranks, for without threat of persecution, they could promote the cause of the prince openly. Young people were especially eager to join and learn the art of the sword. Much of the haven's resources went toward training camps for the young knights who would eventually be commissioned to embark on their own missions into the kingdom of the prince. Twitch, why don't you train the recruits in the sword today? Tav said with a smile. He swiped his hand back through his wavy brown hair, revealing the confident blue-eyed gaze of a sturdy young man. I don't think so, Tav, his friend replied. They deserve someone who really knows what he's doing. Look, the best way to get better at something is to teach it. Tav put a strong hand on his friend's shoulder. You can do this. He swung his sword in a powerful arc and deftly brought its tip to the top of the scabbard, then smartly snapped it into place. Besides, he said as he pointed to a nearby group of young men and women, I've already told them you'd be their instructor, and they're waiting for you. Gee, thanks, Twitch muttered. A muscle in Twitch's right cheek jerked involuntarily, and he reached up to massage it with his right hand. His auburn hair framed a tender face that was in the final process of losing its boyish look. All right, he finally said, I'll give it a try. But you better be ready to jump in if I need you to. Tav slapped Twitch on the back. I'm there for you, chum. Twitch was a year younger and a full 2 inches shorter than his sturdy companion. But that didn't matter. Tav and Twitch were the best of friends. Like salt and pepper, they were rarely seen apart. They had been close even before the tragic death of Twitch's parents 9 years earlier, an event that strengthened the bond of brotherhood between them. Tav's parents had taken Twitch into their home and raised him as their own, for he had no living relatives to help him. Because of his slight stature and his facial tic, Twitch proved an easy target for bullying, but Tav made sure it never happened, at least not while he was around. At 14 and 15, the two boys had joined the Knights of the Prince and begun their training together. Though Tav found it much easier to master the necessary skills, Twitch kept trying, and Tav helped him. Now, at 19 and 20, both were on the verge of being commissioned. Twitch walked over to the new recruits and introduced himself. After a few stammered words, he paired up the recruits and began a series of drills. Despite his apprehension, the training session went reasonably well. The recruits were so new and inexperienced that he was able to stick to the basics of sword fighting for the whole session. You did well, Twitch, Tab said as they walked to the stables to retrieve their horses, Valiant and Cobalt. Thanks. Twitch sheathed his sword and shot Tab a smirk. But if you're going to do that to me again, give me a little advance warning, will you? Tab laughed. If I did, you'd never agree to it. Twitch shrugged. I suppose you're right. And I'm right about this, too, Tab said with his trademark grin. It's time to head for the lake. The Haven of Birkfield lay on the northeast edge of the city, next to the river that flowed south to Daedalon. Due west stood the Emerald Hills, a submountainous region that was a picture of absolute beauty, especially in the morning, while the first rays of sunlight broke upon their eastern faces. Mount Resolute, the crown of the region, seemed to bask in the adoration of the lesser hills. Jewel Lake, nestled near the mountain's base, was a favorite destination for Tab and Twitch. They often enjoyed hunting and fishing there after training at the Haven. Although they hadn't planned on fishing today, the bright blue sky and cool breeze offered an invitation they couldn't refuse. Before an hour had passed, they were casting their lines into the sparkling water, hoping to catch some of the delicious brown trout that populated the lake. Are you going to see Myrna again tonight? Maria. Maria. Are you going to see Maria again tonight? Twitch reached for a worm. I guess I'm looking for an excuse to go see her, Tav replied. Hey, she's got a younger sister. Why don't you come along? I don't think so. That's just not something. Why didn't I think of that earlier? You'd have a great time. No, you'd have a great time. I'd have a lousy time. Twitch's right cheek began to convulse as the conversation progressed. I insist, chum, Tav pressed. Come for just a while. You can leave whenever you like. Twitch hesitated. It's settled then, Tav smiled. We'll take our catch home, clean up, and make a visit. Why do I let you talk me into such things? Twitch shook his head and recast his line. Because if I didn't, you'd sit around like moss on a rock. Tav jabbed Twitch's shoulder. I really don't like you. I hope you know that. Twitch grumped. Yep, Tav flashed a grin. I know it. Tav, have you decided what you're going to do once you're commissioned? I mean, are you set on staying in Birkfield? Tav looked across the lake, gazing at a rippling reflection of Mount Resolute. I'm not sure yet. You're one of the best that's ever been through training, Twitch said. Tav shook his head, trying to refuse the compliment. It's true, Twitch continued before Tav could say anything. I heard Sir Carter and Sir Urak talking. They have high hopes for you. We joined the Knights of the Prince nearly 5 years ago. Tav cast his line gently into the lake. Now I look at the older knights who work at the Haven, and I watch knights on missions come and go, and I can't help but wonder, is there something more to following the Prince than this? Do you ever wonder that, Twitch? Twitch opened his mouth to speak, but just then, Tav's line jerked, and soon he was occupied with bringing in a nice-sized brown trout. Then Twitch's line jerked, and they became lost in the joy of a bountiful catch, never returning to finish their conversation about the prince and their future with him. I will never let you talk me into such a thing again, Twitch complained that evening as they rode home from Maria's house. Aw, come on, it wasn't that bad, was it? I'd rather smash my thumb with a hammer, Twitch replied sternly. Tav shook his head. All right, chum, I won't force you again. When it comes to women, you're on your own. By now, the sun was set and the street lanterns were lit. Tab and Twitch turned the corner off the main thoroughfare of the city and entered a merchant street that earlier had been full of people working and purchasing goods. Now the shops were dark and locked up, all but one. Its store was open, and yellow lantern lights spilled onto the street. Inside, they could hear the shopkeeper's cheerful whistle. Sorry, I can't talk. As Tav and Twitch passed by, the merchant gave them a friendly wave. They saluted and carried on their way. Tav glanced back at the shop once more, then reined in Valiant. Twitch, look! Tav pointed back at the merchant's shop. On the counter of the merchant's shop stood the strangest little creature either of them had ever seen. The tall, bald-headed merchant stopped whistling long enough to speak softly to the animal, then put his hand on the counter next to it. It scampered up the merchant's arm and onto his shoulder. "You're welcome to take a closer look," the merchant called out. Tav looked and Twitch shrugged. They dismounted, sauntered into the shop, and approached the counter. As they came, the little animal began to make soothing, chortling sounds in its throat. The closer they came, the more amazed they were at what they saw. The furry gray and black creature, about the size of a large hand, scurried back and forth from one shoulder of the merchant to the other. It was as quick as a tree squirrel and as nimble as a monkey, with large, captivating dark eyes, a kitten nose, and dexterous little paws that worked like hands. A furry tail, two-thirds the length of its body, swished from side to side, helping it keep its balance. Tav and Twitch couldn't help but smile as they watched the little animal. It lifted itself high on the merchant's right shoulder to get a better look at the knights, then flitted back down the merchant's arm to stand in front of them. "What in the kingdom is it?" Tav asked. The creature tilted its head to the side as Tav spoke, then made its throaty, chortling noises as if to respond to his question. Tav laughed and put his hand out to the critter. It sniffed his finger, then rubbed the back of its head against his hand, much as a purring kitten would do. "This is the rare and exquisite Paesonomus thapira, commonly known as a paetha," the merchant said proudly. "There isn't another merchant in all of Erethrae who can get his hands on one of these. You two are the first to see this little guy. I'm sure it will be gone as soon as I open my doors tomorrow morning." By now, the furry little paetha had crawled up Tav's arm and was flitting from shoulder to shoulder, seeming to enjoy its new perch. At one point, it stopped near Tav's neck and snuggled under his chin. Tav gently removed it and held it toward Twitch. Twitch stroked the back of its neck as it chortled warmly. "I think the paetha likes you. These little guys are extremely intelligent," the merchant continued. "You can train them to fetch just about anything you want, as long as they can carry it. And once they know what you like, they will remember it forever." "How big will he get?" Twitch asked. The merchant nodded and smiled. "Good question, sir. Good question. The answer is as big as you want it." Both Tav and Twitch looked at the merchant quizzically. "What?" Tav asked. "These critters can survive on almost nothing. A few kernels of corn a day would keep this little guy happy forever. But if you feed it more, it will never get fat, just bigger." You might want to train it to fetch your shoes or how to hunt. Hunt? Tav and Twitch asked simultaneously. As I said, the merchant nodded toward the Paytha, which was now sniffing the air and looking off into the distance. This animal is extremely intelligent. To do a task that you'd like it to do, simply feed it until it's big enough to do it. Mariah would love this little guy. Tab said, how much is he? The paith is not for sale, the merchant said. Tab and Twitch looked straight at the merchant for the first time. His dark eyes and pleasant smile gave the impression you could tell him anything, just like a real friend. What do you mean? Tab said, disappointed. I thought you said the paith would be gone first thing in the morning. I did, and it will, but it's not for sale, the merchant said. My trade agreement with the supplier won't allow a monetary exchange. Then a broad smile crossed his lips. But I can trade for it. Tab smiled back and reached for a pocket in his doublet, but the merchant held up his hand. Keep in mind, sir, this is a rare creature. Its worth is significant. Tab stopped, then reached for the gold necklace that hung about his neck. He removed it and held it out to the merchant, who examined it, and handed it back. That looks like a fine piece indeed, but I'm afraid I cannot accept it. The merchant slowly shook his head and pointed toward the back wall of his tiny shop. My specialty is armor and weaponry. Along the back wall hung a variety of highly polished pieces. Breastplates, helmets, shields, vambrises, gauntlets, and swords. In this region of the kingdom, especially in Burkfield, there's really not much of a market for the extra armor. So I export these pieces to other regions of the kingdom to those who truly need them. Now, if you were to have something along this line, we could talk. Otherwise, the man yawned. I'm quickly tiring and must go get some sleep soon. The merchant put his hand on the table and tapped. The paytha jumped from Tab's palm and ran to the merchant's hand, then scurried up his arm. Tav pushed his hair back, thinking quickly. I have my leather vambrances. What'd they do? I'm afraid not, sir. Tomorrow I'm certain I'll have a dozen offers for excellent shields, helmets, and even swords. The merchant reached for the shutters to close up the shop window. The paytha looked sadly at Tav, dropping its chin on the merchant's shoulder as much as a sad puppy would do. Wait. Tav held up his hand. He took off his vambrances and set them on the table. Consider this a down payment, and I'll be here tomorrow morning with my shield. Twitch looked at Tav. Tav looked back at his friend. I haven't used it for months, not even in training. Twitch stayed silent. How do I know it is some rusted out chunk of iron? The merchant picked up the vambrances and examined them. It isn't. I'm a knight of the prince. The merchant stared at Tav and finally nodded. Very well, then. He held out his hand. How do we know this little guy won't run away the first day we have him? Twitch asked. The merchant looked at Twitch with a sparkle in his eye. Because I'll guarantee the deal. I'll keep the shield here in my shop on the back wall. If you aren't completely satisfied with your critter for any reason, bring him back and I'll return your shield to you. Tav looked at Twitch and raised an eyebrow, then smiled at the merchant and shook his head. They left the merchant's shop and mounted up to ride home, eager to return the next morning and finish the deal.
Dad, what's a Vambrance?
I don't know. Mommy, can you look up Vambrance for us? Vambrace. V-A-M-brace? Like forearm? Armor for your forearms? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Forearm guards.
Forearm guards. What is the deal with this little critter?
Probably a bad guy.
Let me show you. Here's the picture of him. He looks like a little squirrel with big eyes.
Oh, I thought it was some kind of cat.
Honestly, so far it's reminding me of the thing in Wubsy where...
Oh, the lie. You feed the lie and it gets bigger and bigger?
Well, that's VeggieTales, but in Wubsy they had the super cute thing that it got bigger and bigger.
Hmm.
It reminds me of something from GoDaddy.
What was that?
What was what?
Oh, that also reminds me of something on the bunny trail.
And I'm just intrigued.
Hmm. Okay, so we got time for another chapter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, chapter 3 is called Disty and Bly.
Is this another?
Disty and Bly. Tav had fully intended to give the cute little Patha. What's Patha? Patha. That's the name of the critter. P-A-Y-T-H-A. Patha. To Maria. Is that how I said her name before?
Mm-hmm.
M-I-R-Y-A. Maria. Tav had fully intended to give the cute little Patha to Maria. But after 2 days with the animal, he just couldn't give it up. "What's his name?" Twitch asked one evening as Tav tried to teach the Patha how to fetch a nail for him. They were in Tav's father's carpenter shop, putting tools away for the day. Tav tapped the shop bench and the Patha scurried down his arm onto the hard surface. Tav held the nail in front of the little creature. "I think I'll call him Disty." Twitch laughed. "That's a strange name, but it sure fits him." "Nail," Tav said, and gave it to Disty. Disty held the nail in his little hands and sniffed it. He turned it over a couple of times, then set it down, looked up, and chortled as if to say, "I get it." Tav grabbed the nail, walked to the end of the bench, and put the nail into the proper bin. He came back, stood by Twitch, and commanded, "Disty, get the nail." Disty tilted his head to one side, chortled, and scurried down the bench. He hunted about for a few seconds, found the bin, grabbed the nail, and scurried back to Tav. He set the nail down, then scampered up Tav's arm to sit on his shoulder. Twitch's mouth dropped open. "That's impossible." Tav smiled broadly. He quickly set to work teaching Disty to fetch other tools, but the Patha was too small to carry most of them. At night, Tav fed Disty a delicious supper of corn cakes and carrot greens. The next morning, they were almost certain he was a little bigger. And within 2 weeks, Disty had doubled in size. He was able to carry some of the heavier tools that he couldn't carry before. And he proved every bit as intelligent as the merchant has said. And even more so. "That animal is scary smart," Twitch said as he and Tav rode to the haven one day. Disty perched high on Tav's shoulder, enjoying the excursion. It had been a full week of work at the family carpentry shop where Tav and Twitch worked, and this was their first chance to resume their training. "We should see if the merchant has any more pathos for trade," Tav said. "You ought to get one, chum. As soon as this one gets a little bigger, I'm going to teach him how to hunt." Twitch laughed. Teach him to fish, then I'll consider it. Tav raised an eyebrow. Now, that's not a bad idea. Disty was a big hit at the Haven. Some of the knights teased Tav at first, until he showed them how smart the animal was. Then, training all but came to a halt, and Disty entertained the entire Haven for most of the evening. When it came for Tav to train some of the newer knights in sword, he commanded Disty to wait on a nearby fence post. But Disty whimpered until Tav allowed him to perch on his shoulder. This hindered Tav's swordsmanship to a degree, but the trainees didn't mind. They were completely enamored with Disty. Each took turns petting the Paytha and enjoying the creature's antics. By the middle of the next week, two other knights had Paythas. When Sir Edmund, the Haven leader, saw the animals were becoming a distraction, he restricted their presence at the Haven. Tav and the other knights argued that the Paythas could be useful and promised not to let them interrupt the training. But Sir Edmund did not yield. One morning after the fourth week, Tav woke up to quite a surprise. Twitch, quick, come here! Twitch entered Tav's room to see him kneeling on the floor beside Disty's blanket. Right beside Disty was a thumb-sized Paytha curled up in a little ball.
Disty had a baby!
Disty looked up proudly at Tav and Twitch, then turned and licked the little creature. Twitch blinked and shook his head. I thought Disty was a male. So did I, Tav said. I think we need to pay a visit to that merchant. I never said the Paytha was either a male or female, the merchant said as he straightened a few items on a shelf. The fact is, it's both. What? Tav and Twitch said simultaneously. Both wore a look of disgust. The merchant looked over his shoulder at them. Paythas are both male and female, or neither, however you want to look at it. So it was pregnant when you sold it to me? Tav said. No, of course not. The merchant came over and rested his elbows on the counter. And I didn't sell it to you. He held up a finger. I traded with you, and I never trade a pregnant Paytha. That could be dangerous. Tav squinted at the man with a pained look. Look, mister, I've only had the critter a little over 4 weeks. How can it reproduce that quickly? The merchant folded his hands and brought two fingers up to his lips, seemingly pondering the question. That is quite remarkable, I must say, but not unheard of. You see, once Paythas reach a certain size, they can reproduce, especially if they sense other people are enjoying them too. Have you taken yours to be with other people? Tav and Twitch stared at one another. Look, the merchant pointed to Tav's shield on the wall. There is your shield, just as I promised. You can exchange your Paytha for the shield right now if you like. But the way I see it, you just doubled your investment. The corner of Tav's mouth curled up. It's all right, I'll keep the Paytha. I just wanted you to know what had happened. Very well, then. The merchant winked. You gentlemen have a great day. Tav and Twitch left the shop and continued on their way to the Haven. Twitch, the little one is yours if you want him. It, Tav said. Are you sure? Twitch asked. I thought you might give it to Maria. I think you would enjoy it more if it's as smart as Disty. Tav grinned. I can't wait to see what Disty can do on a hunting trip. Twitch smiled as he thought of it. Fresh game every night. Thanks, Tav. A few days later, the new Paytha, now grown to palm size, was perched on Twitch's shoulder, making high-pitched chortles. Tav chuckled as Disty talked back to the little creature from Tav's shoulder. Disty's sounds were deeper, but still every bit as comforting to hear. What are you going to call it? Tav asked. His name's Bly. Twitch stroked the back of the Paytha's little head. Tav laughed. That's a strange name, but it sure fits. Within a month, Bly was big enough to keep up with Disty. Tav and Twitch taught the two Paythas how to hunt, and they seemed bred for the task, with keen eyesight and an uncanny sense of smell. The little animals made every activity outside the haven twice as enjoyable as before. They also continued to reproduce. Before long, in fact, nearly all the younger trainees and many of the older knights at the haven owned Paythas. And those who didn't envied those who did. Sir Edmund was at a loss as to what to do, even though the quality of the training declined. Hey, Twitch, what do you say we take Disty and Bly fishing after work to see what they can do? Tav said one day during their noon meal. But we have a training session at the Haven tonight, Twitch half protested. Tav swallowed a bite of food and nodded. Sure would be nice to have some fresh fish for dinner, Tav's mother said as she sat down at the table. Aren't you going to be commissioned soon anyways? Tav's father put a succulent piece of venison into his mouth. I'm ready for you two to be done with your training so we can get on with business. I've given up far too many jobs because of that haven. I get commissioned next month, Tav said. Sir Edmund has asked what my plans are. Tav's parents quit chewing their food and stared at him. Don't tell me you're planning on running off on some wild nonsense adventure, Tav's father said. Your Uncle Baylor did that, and we've barely heard of him since. I knew this was a bad idea from the beginning, Tav's mother added. Tav glanced over at Twitch, both remembering their decision to become knights. It had actually been Tav's idea to join, but both boys had accepted the prince's story gladly. Back then, the prospect of serving the king on grand missions had seemed exciting and appealing. Those days seemed 100 years ago now. I really do think Disty and Bly will enjoy fishing, Tav said to Twitch. Don't you think we could skip training just for the night? Twitch shrugged and nodded. It was becoming tiring to work all day and then train in the evening, too. Less than an hour after putting away their tools for the day, they were at the lake, enjoying the late afternoon sunshine and laughing at the antics of the Paythas, who picked up the concept of fishing even more quickly than they expected. When Tav snatched the first fish out of the water, the two critters jittered about excitedly. They ran up and down the shoreline, searching the waters, and stopped and chatted back to Tav and Twitch. The men cast in their lines. It was the best 2 hours of fishing they'd ever had. Life was good. Life was easy. Yes. Okay. It's a really short chapter. Chapter 4 is called Mount Resolute. What does resolute mean?
Like definite.
Mm-hmm. Resolved is a word very similar to resolute. Basically the same thing. To be resolved means to be settled and decided. Right? What is this all about, Tav? Twitch said, breathing hard. Who is this man you're supposed to meet? Tav crested the last rise on Mount Resolute and held his hand down for Twitch to grab hold of. He's my uncle. Seriously, the one your father's not so fond of? That's the one. Twitch clambered up over the rise and let out a low whistle. Whenever Baylor comes by, things get tense around the house. It's a good thing it's only once in a blue moon. Tav looked about the small clearing where they stood. From here, they had a clear view of the peaceful city of Birkfield. Somewhere in the trees below them were their horses and the Paethas, who had reluctantly obeyed orders to stay behind. You're right about that. Tav took a deep breath. That's why my parents were hesitant to let me join the Knights of the Prince. They consider my uncle a little crazy. Why? Twitch asked. Because I believe that following the Prince requires sacrifice. I need to say that in a different voice. Because I believe that following the Prince requires sacrifice. A deep voice boomed from behind them. Tav and Twitch jumped and whipped about. Uncle Baylor, Tav said without smiling. Hello, Gustav. Sir Baylor was a broad-shouldered man with black hair and a short black beard that was just beginning to fade to gray near his chin. Most of his knightly attire was black or dark brown leather. He cast a quick, scrutinizing glance over both young knights, but then focused on Tav. I'm glad you decided to come. I thought perhaps your father had persuaded you to the contrary. Tav stiffened. My father doesn't know I'm here. I'm my own man now. Sir Baylor squinted and lifted a gloved hand to his chin. Yes, I can see that. Sir Edmund tells me you have done very well in your training. You don't know this, Gustav, but I have been checking up on your progress this past year, which is why I wanted to meet with you privately. Hello, Twitch. Twitch's right cheek jerked a couple of times as he nodded a greeting.
What's with the twitching?
Well, have you paid attention? As to,
I know that Twitch is his name.
Yeah, but like, in what situations does his cheek do that spasm? You have to pay attention.
When he doesn't like it, or like when he's nervous.
When he's nervous, when there's some sort of adversity. When he's nervous. Why did you want to meet with me, Uncle Baylor? Baylor's eyes narrowed as his gaze turned to Tav. What are your plans when you were commissioned? Tav looked off to the woods. I hadn't thought about it much. For now, I guess I'm planning on staying in Birkfield. Baylor looked disappointed. Why? He asked bluntly. Tav seemed a little agitated. Birkfield's a great city. We have a good business, and I have lots of friends here. Comfortable, are you? Baylor asked. Tav eyed his uncle suspiciously. Yes. Baylor put a hand on Tav's shoulder. Do you understand what it takes to truly follow the prince? Tav squirmed and glanced at Twitch, who was closely watching the exchange. Of course I do, Tav replied. Tav, there is a great war raging all around us. Baylor's hand tightened on Tav's shoulder. I want you to come with me to help me fight it. I'm looking for knights who are willing to ride far, fight hard, and sacrifice everything for the cause of the prince. Such a life is not easy, but it is full of purpose. Aren't you looking for more purpose than a comfortable living and a few friends? Tav seemed to struggle for the right words. He walked a few paces toward the ridgeline and then turned back. I hardly even know you, Uncle Baylor, and I'm not sure what you're asking of me. Baylor smiled. I'm asking you to give up everything you know here. Travel from one end of the kingdom to the other, and carry the truth of the prince to all people. And we would leave right after my commissioning. Baylor hesitated. Unfortunately, I can't wait that long. It may be months before I return. We would leave the day after tomorrow. Day after tomorrow? Tav's eyes widened. He stared at his uncle, then at Twitch. Finally, he shook his head. I have to think about this. Baylor frowned. I'll be here for the next two evenings if you choose to follow. The veteran knight began walking toward the tree line. Gustav, you should know that I am not here simply because you are my nephew. I was sent for you. The two men locked eyes, then Baylor disappeared into the woods. Twitch came to stand by Tav, who seemed lost in thought. Come on, Twitch, Tav finally said. Let's get out of here. That night, neither Tav nor Twitch slept well, and their paces seemed as agitated as they. In the morning, the two young men worked in near silence. When they finished early, Disty and Bly scurried over to their fishing rods and chortled excitedly. Much to the creature's disappointment, however, Tav and Twitch went to the haven instead. Later in the afternoon, when the training ended, Sir Edmund gathered all of the knights and gave an impassioned speech on the need for each of them to commit fully to the prince's call. On their way home, neither Tav nor Twitch broached the subject of Sir Edmund's speech or the previous day's encounter with Sir Baylor. The next day was much the same, but instead of going to the haven, they arrived home for an early supper. Afterward, Tav went to the barn and began to saddle Valiant. Twitch followed him, his right cheek in near constant spasms. What you gonna do, Tav? He rubbed his cheek to soothe the muscles. Disty and Bly chortled back and forth, seeming to console each other for their master's apparent distress. Tav cinched and buckled his saddle, then leaned against his horse and crossed his arms. Disty scurried up his shoulder. I honestly don't know, Twitch. What do you think about it all? Twitch's eyebrows raised. I guess I'm not sure. My folks would have a fit if they knew I was even considering riding off with Uncle Baylor. Tav shook his head as if he could imagine it, then gave Twitch a crooked smile. You think my uncle is crazy? I mean, do you see any sign of a war raging around us? Twitch raised an eyebrow. Well, me neither. Why should I throw everything away to chase some crazy war concocted in the mind of my uncle? I think my father may be more on track about Uncle Baylor than I first... Disty, calm down. It's all right. Tav reached up to pet the Paytha, which was running excitedly from shoulder to shoulder. Then he shook his head again and reached for the reins of his horse. He said we may not be back for months. How would I explain that to Maria? She's not going to wait around for me indefinitely. You don't really think your uncle is crazy, do you? Tav looked at Twitch and thought for a moment. I guess not. I'm just not ready to accept his version of what it means to be a knight of the prince. Tav prepared to mount Valiant, but Twitch grabbed his arm. Do you remember when you asked me if I thought there was something more to being a knight of the prince than what we were doing here at Birkfield? Tav looked at Twitch and slowly nodded. Do you think this could be it? What if your uncle's offering the very thing you were looking for? Tav seemed stunned by Twitch's questions. He looked out the barn door for a long moment, contemplating the two futures his next action would bring. If it is, he finally said, I guess I'm just not ready to commit to it yet. He smiled. Besides, what would I do without you to keep me in line? Tav mounted up and settled into the saddle. I'm meeting up with Maria for an evening ride, he said. You're welcome to come, Twitch. Disty chortled excitedly, seeming to anticipate an evening of fun. Twitch seemed sheepish. Twitch smiled sheepishly and shook his head. Thanks, but no thanks. Bly rested his chin on Twitch's shoulder and chortled in low, somber tones. Tav nodded. I'll see you later, then. By the way, he said with a wink, there's more to you than most people think. Twitch patted the horse's rump as Tav trotted off. He walked out of the barn and looked up to Mount Resolute, where his mind had been all day long. Something more, he murmured. Bly's ears perked up as Twitch turned and headed for Cobalt's stall. Okay, that's the end of chapter 4. It's good for tonight. Thank you.